Hello, and welcome to the ICIS Americas podcast, your go-to podcast for in-depth analysis of global topics affecting the petrochemicals industry. I'm your Americas host, Anna Mathern, and with me today is Deputy Managing Editor and our polyethylene expert, Zachary Moore. Welcome to the podcast.
Good to be here, Anna.
Today, we're going to discuss a few major factors impacting the U.S. polyethylene market. Now, Zachary, we chatted back in January on polyethylene, and obviously so much is different now, not just in this market, but in the world. So first off, can you give us a rundown on the polyethylene demand picture?
Sure. So, polyethylene has been less negatively affected by some of the other commodities we follow, largely because so much of the demand for polyethylene goes into packaging, especially for food packaging. So, you know, in the immediate first few weeks of the whole lockdown experience, there's actually some increase in demand for a lot of the film and packaging grades that go into a lot of that food packaging material. Now, there are other things that polyethylene goes into. It's used in construction. It's used in electronics. It makes consumer goods. So, of course, those sectors are all down. So that we have seen a decrease in the overall level of demand. Which was matched by some of the producers either idling plants or reducing their operating rates. But what it looks like has happened is that the demand for May was a bit better than people had anticipated. So the cuts in production were more than offset by the overall stated demand. So we wouldn't say it was good, but it was better than people were expecting. A lot of that's because with the easing of the U.S.-China trade war, a lot of the Chinese buyers can now apply to their government to get an exemption on the additional tariffs on USPE. A lot of them have been taking advantage of that, so we did see some very large volumes of material the last couple of months be sold into Asia, and that has helped a lot as well.
Yeah, so you touched on production cuts, and when we look at the supply picture, we've seen several companies in many different markets announce that they're deferring growth projects. What's the outlook on polyethylene supply levels?
So, I mean, the market was already long before this whole COVID crisis hit. So it's likely to remain long for the near term. There are quite a lot of, you know, new projects for polyethylene that are still in the planning stage. A lot of those will be delayed. At the very least, our general view on a lot of those existing projects is the ones that are already partially completed, where there's already steel in the ground, those will all get built, although a lot of them are likely to be delayed, whereas the ones that are still in the planning stage are probably going to be reevaluated. Certainly, the decision on whether or not to make those multi-billion dollar investments will be deferred for the time being, just because everyone's trying to conserve on cash right now. There's also a couple of plants we were expecting to come up earlier this year that have been delayed. So Sasol's new low-density polyethylene plant in Lake Charles has now been pushed back. That's expected to start up sometime in the third quarter. Formosa also has a new low-density polyethylene plant that's supposed to be coming up. It was originally supposed to start up in April, and now they're aiming at a July or August start date.
Okay, so how are feedstock costs coming into play here? I mean, we know the U.S. has the ethane advantage, but how is that coming into play right now, and how does the U.S. compare with other regions?
So the U.S. ethane advantage right now is experiencing a bit of a challenging time. Basically, when oil and gas, oil prices were about $50 a barrel, the U.S. shale plays were producing lots of oil and gas, and with that came a lot of associated gas, and from that associated gas, ethane is extracted. And basically, there was a lot more ethane on the market than all of these crackers could keep up with, so prices stayed very low for ethane, and that kept the U.S. advantage very strong. Now, when oil drops to around $30 a barrel where it is now, that U.S. ethane advantage gets compressed. For one thing, the naphtha-based producers in Asia and Europe, and of course the naphtha price is very closely correlated with the oil price, their costs come down. Meanwhile, for the U.S. producers, as oil and gas rigs get cut back, there's a little less ethane coming into the market, so ethane prices have been going up a bit. So right now, if we look at the different regions, There's really no major advantage for the U.S. relative to Europe or Asia, although that is, of course, at $30 a barrel oil. And, you know, as the economy begins to recover and oil prices pick up, there's a very strong possibility that that advantage will be restored. But in the meantime, we are looking at some increases on the ethane costs as the, you know, cutbacks in the U.S. shale sector come into play.
Yeah, definitely something to keep an eye on. Well, thank you, Zachary, for joining me on this podcast. And thanks to everyone who listened in today. Stay tuned for the next episode of the ICIS Inside Chemicals Americas podcast.
Thank you for having me.